Talking Halloween with the mayor. Yeah. We're going to talk more about Halloween and the what the mayor suggested people do with Halloween. It should be a lot of fun. His Honor, Mayor Corey Mason is here from the city of Racine. You got a lot of serious stuff to talk about this morning first.
We do.
And you want to start off with the budget or the SNAP?
Why don't we start with the food benefit stuff?
Because that's in the news a lot.
It's quite a bit, right? It's 25,000 Racine area residents that rely on those benefits. And so with the government shutdown in Washington, the expectation is that those benefits are going to end November 1st, which is Saturday. Now, if you're on food benefits or you've been on food benefits, you know how they work, but it's basically like a debit card and it reloads automatically. And for a lot of people, that happens the first of the month. And so, you know, it's been in the news a lot. And so we think people have heard about it, but some people won't have heard about it. And, you know, they may try to show up at the grocery store on Saturday thinking that they've got benefits on their card and they're not going to be able to buy groceries. And so just to put that in context, that's, you know, the city's about 78,000 people. If 25,000 people in the area suddenly don't have access to those food benefits, that's a big deal. It's a big deal. So we certainly hope the Republicans will bring Congress back in session and they'll reach some agreement so that these food benefits and, you know, extension of the Obamacare healthcare benefits continue. But boy, it's certainly cause for concern. I will say if people want to help, there's certainly food pantries that are, you know, a lot of church groups are doing food drives and whatever. If people are looking for the best way to do something about it, to supplement what we're doing, United Way of Racine County is working with the Racine County Food Bank. The best way to help, honestly, is just to contribute directly to the United Way. They have a link right on their front page and on their Facebook space to contribute directly if that's what people want to do. I mean, people want to do a food drive. We're doing one at City Hall. People can drop off food starting this afternoon in the clerk's office, the customer service department there. But it could potentially turn into a real crisis. And it's one thing if it happens for a day or two, but if this continues for weeks, again, if the main source of food revenue for a third of the community is suddenly gone, that's a crisis in the making.
What about WIC benefits, women, infant, and children?
WIC benefits, as of right now, what we're hearing is those will go through November, but those are slated to expire December 1st if the government doesn't reopen. I mean, Washington just needs to, I mean, you know, the president, the Republican leadership, they need to come together and actually convene Congress and pass a budget. I mean, really playing, you know, playing with people's lives in terms of access to basic food. That's just really pretty frightening.
I know how to get them back. Take away these salaries from Congress.
Yeah, if all of a sudden they don't get paid anymore.
How did they get paid? They passed a law that said they get paid no matter what, and they passed their own laws.
Right.
How did that happen? Why aren't these news reporters challenging Mike Johnson up there saying, how come you are getting paid?
Yeah, it's a fair question. It's a fair question. I hope more reporters ask about it. The governor was here last week talking about this exact topic and posed the same question. You know, they're taking benefits away from people who literally rely on these benefits to eat and keep their kids fed and everything else. But it's a fair question. How is it that a government shutdown works it out in such a way that the legislators who refuse to come to an agreement still get paid?
Why is the Secretary of Defense getting paid?
Why are any of them getting paid?
Yeah, why is the spokesman at the White House getting paid?
So there are carve outs when they do this. So the military, you know, the discussion is the military still continue. It does. I mean, the VA continues to be funded. So they do these shutdowns, but they sort of carve out pieces of things that shut down and pieces of things that don't. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't think it makes sense to most Americans. Again, just on the ground here, if like one in three residents or close to it who may be dependent on these federal benefits to eat, right? And if you take that away from people, you know, whatever the differences might be politically, they've got to find a way to fund the government and extend healthcare benefits for Obamacare and extend food care benefits so that, you know, women and children and seniors who are on fixed incomes can have enough food just to get by.
I don't see them giving in either side.
Yeah.
The Republicans don't want to upset the president. The Democrats have their heels dug in with the Obamacare.
Yeah.
So,
well, I will say, I mean, Republicans control all three. I mean, they've got the House, they've got the Senate, they've got the president. The president himself once said, boy, if there was a government shutdown, it would really be the responsibility of the president to bring everybody together.
And they have that on video.
Yeah, they do.
Saying
and so he should do that. he should bring everybody together and reach some resolution and move forward. And maybe, you know, less time on tearing down the White House and more time on getting the government to function would be a better use of his time.
And I just want to mention this only because I heard people talking about it. I had never heard of this.
Yeah.
But I looked it up, and there it was in the New York Post and a few other publications as well. But the New York Post is pretty big about watch out on Saturday night. Looters are going to go into supermarkets and start stealing food because they now, whether it really happens or just talk, I don't know. But it made the newspapers.
Yeah.
It made a prestigious, you know, the New York Post.
And I don't think that's all going to happen on the first day. But again, if there's 25,000 area residents who rely on those benefits every month to get by, and all of a sudden, you know, they go to the store one day and maybe they're hearing this broadcast and they think, oh, no, I need to prepare. The other thing that I think, you know, we're seeing United Way is doing amazing work to try to supplement the space. The food bank's trying to step in. The church, you know, I go to Holy Communion. We have a food pantry, and everybody's trying to do more to step up. But it's nowhere near enough to fill the gap if food benefits go away from the federal government. There's just not enough there. And so I think there's things that we can do for a period of time to try to supplement what the federal government does through charity and through other giving. But it's a real challenge, to say the least. And so we've got to be aware that this is happening. And first and foremost, I really wish the federal government and the president could pull people together and fund the government and give people their healthcare benefits and give people their SNAP benefits, I relate their food share benefits. But in the wake of that, on the ground here, right, in the real world where cities and counties have to interact with people that are interacting with this, you know, the nonprofit sector, other folks are really stepping in to help. But and that can be a, you know, a bridge for a period of time. But you know, if this happens a day or, you know, a week, it could be really bad. If this goes on for weeks, you know, I don't want to predict what it could be like. But I would certainly, in the meantime, you know, so first and foremost, call your members of Congress and tell them to get back to work and pass a budget and give people their food benefits. But if you want to help at the local level, you know, United Way of Racine County has a really good way for people to give and contribute and get involved. And so if people want to act locally in that space, I would encourage everyone to do that as well.
It'll be a month, Saturday.
Yeah.
His Honor, City of Racine Mayor Corey Mason is with us. Let's talk about the city budget. Now, don't confuse this when we hear news with Stuart J. Waddles talks about the county budget. You got right. The city, but everything going on at the same time. We're talking about the City of Racine budget.
Right. So, yeah, so every year in October and early November, we debate the city budget. This year's budget was introduced last week, and so we're in the middle of about a three-week process where then the legislative branch, the city council, has its review of it. But tonight is one of the nights that if the public wants to comment on the budget, they are certainly able and available to do that. So that's the public's opportunity to give any testimony. There'll be another opportunity next Wednesday as well after the council proposes its amendments that people could give public comment. But overall, it's a budget that reduces the tax rate just a little bit.
Yeah, I noticed that. Yeah. It's going down, yeah.
So when I started as mayor, it was 17 and change per thousand. Now it's 11.75 per thousand of the value of your home. So that rate's been going down for a bit. Now, people may say then, well, then, mayor, how come, you know, my bill doesn't seem to be going down? So keep in mind, when you pay your tax bill, you pay taxes to the city, to the county, to the technical college, and to Racine Unified. So it's all on the same bill. So if those other entities are raising rates, or in our case in the city, voters did approve a referendum this April for 9 firefighter positions, and they passed a school referendum as well. So you may see your tax bill adjust because of those things. But there's some good things in the budget that I just wanted to highlight that I think are really important. First and foremost, we're really stepping up our work around neighborhood enhancement and doing more of these clean sweep projects that have been a huge success, and having some more enforcement tools for the city too, just requiring landlords and other property owners to keep their houses in a state of good repair and funding those operations. We've got a great lead pipe replacement program that we've got coming up that we're really excited about. We have a Department of Community Safety that's been really integral in working with the police and public health and the county and the school district to reduce gun violence in this community. So we're hoping to extend that work. And this is something that I've been talking about for years, but we talk about it in every budget. It's really important. So unfortunately, the city of Racine has led the state in unemployment. since 1990. And it's a distinction I'd really like us to lose, right? But when you look at city government, in addition to providing services, it's one of the biggest employers in the area. We have about 900 employees. And right now, 2 out of 3 of them don't live in the city. We're not legally required to require people who are employees to live in the city, but we can encourage it. And so what we want to be able to do and do a better job of is letting city residents know what jobs are available in city government and getting them trained and access to those jobs. So we have a CDL driver's training that we got a state grant to implement. We've got our youth employment program that's been very successful, where we have paid apprenticeships for 8 weeks in the summer in all of our departments. And those are great. But if we could get to a place where 2/3 of our employees lived in the city instead of 1/3, we would no longer leave the state in unemployment. We would be off that list. And so we really want to invest in staff and time and resources to make sure that city residents know about city jobs, which, you know, have healthcare benefits and good wages and a pension that people can be a part of. The way I describe it is this: city residents pay for 100% of city wages, and they get about 37% of the benefits of it. So we want to open that up to more people.
So people are going to hear you say, we dropped the rate, it's dropped again. And yeah, you're right. They're going to say, well, how come my bill's more expensive? And right, it's good that you noted it's not just city taxes on right there. It's everybody right else's taxes
it's
on there.
It's school district, it's county, it's the technical college. But, you know, I get it. Most people look at it and they look at the one number and they think, well, is this bigger or smaller than the number from last year, right? And so I get that. But if you look at the city line, you know, that rate has really come down. So we've done a lot of good work there. When you factor in fees and everything, it's about it's not a huge, it's a little bit shy of a 2% reduction when you factor in the tax rate and the fees. So the fees do go up a little bit in a couple places. But overall, it's a pretty flat budget. Like I said, a slight decrease. And we do a lot of good work with and live within the means that we have. It is one of the things that, unlike the federal government, we can't just print money and go into debt. So we balance the budget. We use a lot, rely on the federal grant money that is still there from the Biden administration. And we use some of the reserves that we have in place, but that puts us in a place where we've got a balanced budget that's pretty flat for most residents.
Yeah, one time banks all over the country printed their own money.
Yes.
It's
a scary thought. Yes.
I know. And you would get banknotes from banks all over the country, yeah, and some banks yeah wouldn't accept them. Some yeah did, and we got to the...
Yeah. There were some Racine banks that printed them at one
really
time. Yeah, yeah. My grandfather used to collect, coins and bills and whatnot. And I was like, what are these? But there was apparently a Racine bank that once printed its own, which was, I guess, the practice in the country.
Yeah, it was. All banks printed their own money, but yeah, they weren't really good across right the country. Other banks wouldn't accept them. Now, we talked about the government shutdown affecting yeah SNAP. What are the programs in the city of Racine do you depend on for government funds that you're not getting?
So there's just a lot of the most immediate thing is there's a bunch of grant funding that we've applied to or that we're supposed to receive that just isn't coming in for now, right? Because there's nobody to call, right? I mean, just sort of like, what do you do? Like, how do we find out about this grant program? What's going on with HUD? Well, there's really nobody there to answer your questions. What's going on with these grants? So as it stands right now, we're still in 2025 and spending our 2025 allocation. And so for the most part, our benefits aren't the direct human service ones. So the county is responsible for food stamps and for workforce and those sorts of things. So they get the money that is being sort of shut off through the state and then through the county. But then for the city, for us, it's public health services, it's workforce services, it's the work that we do around some of the day-to-day operations. But thankfully, most of our grants came in big chunks at the beginning of the year. But if this goes on much longer, I mean, we rely on, police funding from the federal government, rely on fire department funding from the federal government, we rely on public health. And then if you look at our transit system, that's 80% federally funded. Every transit system in America is 80% funded by the federal government. If they were to suddenly turn that off, I don't know how you would get the buses to keep running. Now, again, we're on sort of a 2025 grant that we're expending at this point, so it should still be okay. But if this goes on much longer, you will see services come to a halt.
Let's talk about the Department of Community Safety.
Yeah. So this is a relatively new department. Was established with some grant funding. And, you know, it's really made a big difference. Milwaukee's had a program like this. Green Bay and Madison have similar programs. But it basically says, look, we don't need to just solve crimes. We need to look at the things that are causing some of this gun violence to happen and prevent those things before they happen. And so we've had for 2 years now, our Department of Community Safety, which is made up of three people, and they've been able to do two really important things. First of all, is they've had enough money to subgrant money to groups like Neighborhood Watch and Safe and Sound and Fight to End Exploitation, which, you know, goes after human trafficking efforts that are just really pernicious in this country. So that's been really positive. But what they do that's just really powerful is they look at what are the root causes of gun violence that we're seeing in this community and across the country. And it's based on a model that came out of Boston. So I'd love to tell you that I was smart enough to figure this out myself, but it's really borrowing ideas that have worked really well. But basically it looks at, look, if there's this gun violence that happens, what causes that? How does that happen? What we find is a lot of the people who are victims of gun violence are also likely to be the perpetrators. It's a relatively small group in the community. And if you can intervene there before gun violence occurs and redirect that activity in a way that's very effective, you can prevent it. And you can also, you know, when you work with the DA's office and the judges and say, like, look, we need a swift and certain response if people are engaging in gun violence. It can't be that we're kidding around here when they go in front of a judge. But in between that time, you can really do things to make sure that this gun violence doesn't spin out of control. Let me give you just one example. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we had a shooting, unfortunately, at one of our community centers involving three teenagers, kids way too young to be involved in gun violence, right? But there's, you know, three of them are shot. They go to the hospital. They're all taken to the hospital. All three of their families show up at the same time, right? They don't know what's going on. They don't know if one party or another is to blame. And so this is a space where the Department of Community Safety intervenes and makes sure that they know what's going on with the health of their kids that are in the hospital, but also makes sure that what's happening in that waiting room doesn't escalate into more violence, that people don't decide to, you know, seek revenge or, you know, do things that would make things worse. That's just one example of one of the things that we can do to sort of cool those passions when people are upset, understandably so, and, you know, might think of taking on, you know, taking matters into their own hands with more gun violence. Since we've started this program, homicides are down 62%. Non-fatal shootings of people getting shot are down 60%. It's really making a difference. We've had really good response from the police chief and from the county employees that do this work and the school district people who do this work. So it's really important work, and we need to keep it going. It's in the budget, and, you know, it's going to be up to the council if they see value in this program and having it continue.
Finally, the Halloween decorating.
Yeah, something about. Fun, right? Yeah. So just as a reminder, trick-or-treating is Friday night from 5 to 7. If you're going to do, yes, if you're doing candy, please leave your porch light on so kids know that they can come to your house. But a little bit of fun. I've just noticed, like, man, people are really, it used to be that Christmas lights were the big thing, but more and more people are decorating.
With those 12-foot skeletons.
Yes, yes. People are decorating their front yards in ways that I've just never seen before. So, you know, it's nothing but bragging rights that you get for it, but people are submitting their decorations at their house for, you know, best decorated house in the city of Racine. So if you want to go to our webpage or our Facebook page and see how to take a picture and submit it, those are due, you know, coming up here pretty quick. So we want to announce tomorrow who's got the best decorated house in the city of Racine. So if you think that's you or a neighbor or what have you, take a picture and send it in.
There are some really good ones out there.
Oh, man, there's really creative
elaborate
ones.
Yeah. I like the ones with these big giant spiders crawling down the front of their house. And those 12-foot skeletons are frightening.
They are. They're amazing.
Oof. I get the chills thinking about it.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much for coming in, Mayor.
My pleasure. Have a safe and happy Halloween, everyone.
Yeah. Thank you for coming in. And you keep that arm in good condition.
Will do.
Two months ago you broke it?
Yeah. Yeah.
How's your window doing on your house?
It's repaired. That's back together.
You got a broken window. You got a broken arm.
Yeah. Okay. It's life.
Thank you, Mayor. His Honor, City of Racine Mayor Corey Mason.